Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Just last night, we had an unusual situation. Our speaker didn't show up, so I had to kind of do double duty last night, but it was wonderful. We always have such a wonderful time together on Sunday night. But tonight, we're going to do actually a teaching that is a continuation of Sunday morning and of God can and God will heal you, that it is God's desire to heal you. And Jeremiah 30 and 17, we're going to begin with, but I will restore you to health. I will restore you to health. If we never were sick, why would we need a healer? If we were never addicted, why would we need a deliverer? If we were never lost, why would we need a savior? So it's in God's word, and we stick with God's word. And Psalm 30 and 2 says, Lord, my God, I call to you and you heal me. You know, there's a key in here to receiving your healing blessing. My God. If he's not your God, are you going to be able to receive your healing? No. No. He has to be our Heavenly Father, our God. He has to be our Savior. And Psalm 103 and 2 says, one of my favorites is, forget not all his benefits. And one of them is he heals all our diseases. And yesterday we talked about named and unnamed diseases. And here's something. I'm going to give you some thoughts first as we begin tonight. We've went over these in the times past. But I want to tell you that we need to speak more about the cure than we do the curse. Do you know that the word cure is C-U-R-E and the word curse is C-U-R-S-E? There's only one letter different between cure and curse, and it's the letter S, and it stands for Satan, the curse. Cure and curse. I'd rather talk about the cure than the curse. Let's get him out of it. We need to exalt Christ and not the sickness, not the disease, not the cancer, not the COVID, not any other work from hell, not the diabetes. Never exalt that. Make sure that you talk more about Christ. Make sure you talk more about the cure than we do the cancer, the sickness. And what we don't know, by the way, can and will hurt us. If you don't know the bridge is washed out, you tell me, is it going to hurt you? You're going to have a disadvantage by just not knowing, aren't you? Those who know have the advantage, don't they? Those who know about healing, they have the advantage over those who do not know about healing and have not been taught about healing. You know, if you do not know that your great aunt put $2 million in your account as an inheritance for you, what you don't know can hurt you because you won't be available. You won't access those funds, and then you won't be able to pay your gas bill, your light bill. You won't be able to have food and pay your mortgage. So what you don't know just hurt you, didn't it? So if you don't know that you have an inheritance in the kingdom, which includes healing and which includes salvation and deliverance, then it's going to hurt you, right? Because you're not aware of what you have access to and all that is available to you. And just because something's available to you doesn't mean that you have received it yet. Am I right? You know, and people say, well, obedience is how you earn your healing, but we don't earn healing. Healing is from a gift from God. Obedience is part of the key. It's the way we access and receive the healing blessing. It's like a key to a safe. There's a blessing in your safe, right? It's available, and it belongs to you. It's your safe, and it belongs to you. But if you don't have the right key to use, are you going to be able to access those funds and use that blessing? You need to know about it, and you need to know what the key is to how to receive that. So Jesus invites us to ask him for whatever we need, whatever it is that we need in life. And I'm going to read a verse to you tonight. This is a very important study, by the way, because you either you've battled sickness yourself or you know someone who is, or in the future you will, you have friends. But there's a verse here, and it is up to us, by the way, to access the hidden gems in the Word of God. There are some things that are hidden in the Word of God, but I like to say it like this. God doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. He wants you to find them. He hasn't hidden it from you. He gave you the word of God. He's hidden it for you. It's like us when we hide, say, I know it's a bad example, but like Easter eggs for our kids, or we hide Christmas presents and treasures for our kids to find. We're not hiding it from them. We want them to find it. We want them to go and seek it out, don't we? We want to see the joy on their face and the surprise on their face when they discover, yay, this is in the word of God. This is available to me. Aren't we children of God? And hasn't God done the same thing for us so many times? Hidden away treasures for us. And I like to say, let's uncover some of that hidden treasure. Let's seek for that treasure. And so it's like looking for one valuable scripture, one valuable treasure at a time. So I'm going to read a verse to you tonight, and I read it in a class many years ago, but it's Mark 16:18, and here's what it says, and there's a double meaning here. You have to catch the double meaning. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So you have to immediately ask yourself, well, who are the they that's going to recover? Is it the they that lay hands on the sick that they shall recover, or is it the sick that they shall recover? Watch this, it's both. You know what? There is a double meaning there. The they that lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, and the sick also recover. Isn't that how it is? That God's provided healing for those that are sick and for those that are laying hands on them also. I heard the coolest story. It was just about a month ago, and I was studying, and I heard this awesome story about this minister, evangelist he was. He was praying for people who had sicknesses and all kinds of things, and a man came to him with severe cluster migraine headaches. He had what they call cluster migraine headaches, he said. And the evangelist laid hands on him and anointed him, and the evangelist made the remark. He said, I just felt the power of God go into you, receive your healing. And the man said, as a matter of fact, I just had a migraine and I don't have it anymore. It's just completely gone. Well, the evangelist went home, and guess what? He had migraine medicine too. Without even realizing it, because he was praying for, I'm praying for a person with diabetes, he's going down the line, I'm praying for a person with cancer, and he's praying for this migraine man, not even associating with, I have migraines too. And why am I praying for some? He's praying for someone with cluster migraines, and he goes home, and over the weeks he realizes, I receive my healing that night. He never had another one. And it was just such a cool story, because it proves out this verse. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall, I'm going to add a word, all recover. I'm going to add that word. Let's take it in the context that it is. They who lay hands on the sick, and they who are sick. And I thought that was just such a cool, it's such a cool story, because the man was obedient. Because let me share something with you. This is scriptural, because the Bible says that when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his own captivity. You know, if you want to get set free from your addiction, pray for somebody else who's struggling with that same addiction. If you want to get a new job, if you're seeking a new job, pray for somebody else who's out there looking for a job. You know, pray for others. If you want to receive your healing, find somebody who's worse off than you and go ahead and pray for them that they could receive their miracle, and watch what will happen in your life. Just watch how the tide will turn, how it'll turn around. So I want to continue by saying that God never put sickness on anyone. I don't think we'll ever teach healing that we don't say that. God does not put sickness on anyone. He doesn't do it on purpose, and he doesn't do it for a purpose at all. If you can show me a scripture where Jesus put sickness on anyone, come on down. Come on down. Bring it up. I'll read it for everybody to hear where Jesus put sickness. We do not see that. I want to say it like, well, I'll get to that in a little bit. But not one time did Jesus ever say, when someone came to him in need of a healing miracle, no, it isn't your time. No, this isn't for you. No, you need to suffer a little longer. Come back later. The answer is no, it's not God's will for you. This is a gift for you because you need it to learn some things. I want to say something about that. It is one of the most, it is the most terrible insult to God to attribute the work of Satan to God, to say that that God did this when Satan did it, or the work of God to Satan. I got well on my own. So I'm going to read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around about doing good things and healing all. Take note every time you see the word all, because that word means not just all in that context and that setting of the when Jesus did it, but that word all is a word that should speak to you today. All means all. And so, and healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And Jesus never, in this verse, note that it never says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing some good and a little bit of bad too, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and some that were oppressed by God. It never says that. Because none of them were oppressed by God. They were all oppressed by the devil, and they all got healed. So God heals all, and we see, I want to say it like this. If Jesus put sickness on some people, and he healed some people, sometimes I heal, sometimes I don't. Can I say it like this without seeming sacrilegious? We do not serve a bipolar Jesus. We just do not serve a bipolar Jesus, okay? We serve a loving Jesus. We serve a healing Jesus. We serve a Jesus who delivers. We serve an all-powerful Jesus. We serve a kind Jesus. We serve Jesus the Savior, but we don't serve the bipolar Jesus. There's no such thing. He is true to his word and his character, and he does not, there's no in-between. You have to understand that. We have to understand that. They were all somehow hurt by the enemy. They were all somehow afflicted. Not one of them were hurt by God, but all of them were healed by God. Not one was hurt by God, but all were healed by God. And so can God turn something bad into something good? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. But he never turns something good into something bad, does he? He never turns something good into something bad at all. And God has a purpose for your life, but that purpose is not sickness. That is not the purpose that you were created. And God is greater than the enemy. I've heard people say that God is all-powerful and good, but the enemy is equally all-powerful and bad, and that is such incorrect. That is wrong theology, that the enemy's power is somehow equal to God, equal bad, equal good. It is not true. The limited power of the enemy is down here, and the greater power of God is unlimited power. The enemy has limited power. The power you give him, the authority you give him to enter your life by what you do, by how you live, by your confession, but God's power is unlimited power. There ain't nothing your God can't do or won't do for you. Nothing at all. And so for this reason, God can take what the enemy means for bad, and like Joseph said, and he can turn it around into something good. It doesn't mean that he has used evil. It means that he has turned it around and redeemed your pain. He's redeemed your suffering. That's what he has done. You know, Joseph was sold by his brothers, but it was not God who caused this situation. God knew it was going to happen. Let me read to you in Genesis 50:20. These are the words of Joseph to his brothers. As for you, you meant it for evil against me. You meant it for evil. You intended to harm me, but God had determined it for my good in order to bring us to this day and to save many people alive. God's purpose is for you to be used to save people, for you to be used in the kingdom of God. The enemy means harm to you. Others may mean harm to you, like his brothers meant harm to you, but God does not mean to harm you in any way, and God doesn't use sickness for a purpose. Let me tell you what God does. God uses healing for a purpose, not sickness. He uses the healing for a purpose in your life. That's the testimony, not the sickness part. But Jesus said something interesting. We're going to talk about real quickly the Great Commission as disciples. I want to begin by saying that Pastor Ken and I are co-pastors. That means we pastor together. We co-together. There's two of us here. And so we're co-pastors. So God has given us a co-mission. What that means is you are co-missionaries with Jesus Christ. You are a co to Jesus Christ. You're doing the work of Christ. Are you not? Are you not partnering with Jesus to do the works that Jesus did, that the Bible commissioned you to do and commanded you to do, and I, you and I to do. So in Mark 15, 15, 17, and 18, and he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, go you, that's all of you, into all of the world. All of you go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our first responsibility is to preach the truth of the gospel to every creature. You know what? There is a word in here that sounds a little bit odd, doesn't it? What word is it? Creature. It's the word creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. I was reading that verse one day because, of course, the word creature comes from the word creation, right? Creature, creation. But there is more than human, man, woman, that is creation. There are creatures on this earth. Do you know how many times that I have preached to Maverick? Do you know that that you can preach to everything that God created? You can preach the truth. I declare the truth to all of you. Everything that's created is alive. Every creature, every flower that you, the trees of the field, they clap their hands. They wave. This is by the design of God. So I'm just going to give that to you like it is, but it says to every creature, and these signs, when you preach it all the time, if you don't have a human to preach it anyway. That's what this is saying. And these signs shall follow them who believe. Do you believe? In my name, they who believe will cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, because we do the works of Christ. I love that it says that they shall cast out devils, because it's kind of interesting to me. I heard someone say, well, you know, I know so-and-so, I'm going to cast the devil out of them. You know, you can cast the devil out of your house. You can cast the devil out of you. Instead of let's cast the devil out of Frida and Janice, maybe we should cast the devil out of me first. Right? Am I right? Maybe we should get the hell out of our life first before we start trying to help somebody else. I actually know a woman. I'm going to give you an example. I know a woman who I know very well, and she began to decide that, and Sandra knows already, she began to decide that she was going to get into the devil casting out business of other people. Here's the problem. She had the devil in her. She lived like the devil. She was addicted. She had all kinds of things and was not seeking the help of God for her own life. She was not surrendered to Christ. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to cast out devils. Don't misquote me. But you have to be pursuing God. You have to be obedient to God. She wasn't. She was taking Bibles over people and beating them with it, saying, Jezebel, come out. And she wound up in a very bad shape, because we have to be believers to do that. We have to be submitted to Christ to do that. You know, we need to be serious about the gospel and what God has told us to do. And it has to work. And I've said all that, talking about the casting out of devils in this situation that happened in our life, to say this: if it doesn't work for you, keep your mouth shut. Until we've got our own life in order, we need to first be submitted to God ourselves. Doesn't the Bible say, cast the mote out of your own eye before you go and look for the little speck? There's a lot wrong with me that I can deal with before I can start going over to Janice's house and going, now let me tell you how it's done, Janice. This is where you got this little wrong thing here. But that's what we as humans have a tendency to do. So we are called to do the works that Christ did. And, you know, there is no verse that says you leave some people sick, is there? There's no verse that says you come upon someone, that one you shouldn't cast the devil out of, that one you shouldn't lay hands on. There's no verse like that. Not at all. We have a commission, and that's what we need to do. And we said yesterday, can God heal anyone? Will God heal anyone? The answer is yes. He'll heal your mother, your sister, your brother, your father. He even heals unbelievers. And why does he heal unbelievers? Because he's merciful. because he's kind. He wants to save and heal them. As Pastor Ken pointed out yesterday, salvation and healing are both in the atonement. And when they're mentioned together. Jesus saved us. He shed his blood. He forgives us and he heals all our diseases. It's together. It's saving us. And Jesus, people say, well, Jesus suffered, but he didn't suffer sickness, did he? The sickness was laid upon him, the stripes on his back, but he never had cancer, he never had COVID, he had never had deafness, he never had blindness. What he suffered was persecution and not sickness. But some people will use verses to say that God purposely initiates or causes sickness or use bad situations that God initiates them. He does not. We do that just fine on our own, don't we? We get ourselves in a big mess all on our own. We don't need God's help to do that. Now, a lot of people will use this verse, and I'm going to point this verse out to you because a lot of people use this to say that, well, God gives sickness to teach you a lesson. Hebrews 12:6 says, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. But the Greek word in chasten, for chasten means to teach, to train, to educate. It has absolutely nothing to do with sickness. And why people would attach that verse and say that God makes you sick because he loves you, that makes no sense at all. Again, we don't serve a bipolar God. He's either the healer or he's the one putting the sickness on. And Satan, does Satan put sickness on and heal? No, he does not. No, he absolutely does not. We know who's who. We've read the book and we know who's who. And here, interestingly enough, and I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it again. Interestingly enough, even the enemy knows that Jesus is the healer. Even Satan knows. The devils in hell, they know who he is and they tremble. And in Job 1:10, we have that verse that says, have you not, this is the enemy, the devil talking to God. Have you, God, not put a hedge of protection around Job and his household and everything he has? God, you are literally, you are all around his stuff. First of all, you have put a hedge of protection around his household and everything he has. But he's talking about protection there. But where did all the stuff he has come from? You have blessed the work of his hands. This is Satan. You get this, right? This is Satan talking, saying, you, God, have blessed the work of his hands. I want all of hell to see that God has blessed me and you. I want all of hell to have to acknowledge God healed them. God saved them. God gave them. God gave them. You bless the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. So much, Satan said, you have given Job. And then, not only did you give him this stuff, now you put a hedge around protection so I can't get to it. You've got it guarded, God, so I can't get to it. Do you know how awesome that is for you and I tonight? That God would guard us and protect us wherever we go and our stuff. You know, he does that. But God knew that Satan was going to tempt Job and try to hurt Job. Now, I will never use the word test because God tests us, again, to see what our strengths are and to strengthen us. But the enemy will tempt in order to try to get us to fail and fall. That's what the enemy does. He's the tempter. God is not the tempter. He's not going to tempt you to sin. He's not going to tempt you and hope that you fall or that you don't know what you're talking about. God will allow a test in your life. But he could not take Job's life. The point is, no matter what kind of situation you're in, the enemy has no legal right, no authority to take your life. That's how I know you're going to stay alive. That's how I know that you're going to make it through whatever you're facing tonight, because he has no authority to do that. Remember, I said his authority is limited. God's authority is greater, and it is unlimited, period. And we need to understand that. You know, so many things that we should thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. You know, if we didn't have the promises of God, we would be in a lot of trouble. And we should be afraid if we don't have the promises of God. If we have not received salvation and come into the kingdom, then we do need to be afraid. But I'm going to talk to you briefly about the man, again, revisit just briefly, the man by the pool of Bethesda. I'm just going to spend a couple minutes on this. There was this man, and we don't know his name. We don't know his name. And every time we don't know someone's name, that means it could be any name. Anyone, call him John, call him Joe, call him Peter, call him whatever, call him Tony, call him Ken, whatever. And so there's this man, and he's laying by this pool called Bethesda. And he has been sick for 38 years. Have any of you ever been sick for 38 years? I get sick for 30 minutes, and I get nervous. I'm like, why am I having this awful headache? You know, I know last time it was a migraine, but there are people that brain tumors, you know, that you know how the devil will mess with you, right? Well, so this man's been sick for 38 years. So it looks like he's not going to get well, doesn't it? It looks like he's not going to make it. But the Bible says something interesting in John 5 and 9. It said, when, and I preached a message on this one time, there's a when. God has a when on the calendar for you. God operates on his own calendar in his own time. You don't keep God's calendar. You keep your calendar. God keeps his calendar. It says, when Jesus saw him, and that word's going to come into play also, lying there, he had been there 38 years. When he saw him lying there, he knew he had already been in that condition for a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? I've been here for 38 years. Well isn't even in my vocabulary anymore. Sick is, but well isn't. I've been here for 38 years. Now, Jesus knew he had been there for 38 years. This was no shock to Jesus. But he still asked him, do you want to be made well? And just as we talked about yesterday, and I pointed out yesterday with the blind man, Jesus, that blind man was a beggar. He was a beggar. And so Jesus was asking him, what do you want? He could have said, I want $10, I want $5, I want you to, you know, bring me a hot dog on Thursdays. You know, he could have said anything. Jesus really wants to know what the desire of your heart is. Are you content where you're at, or are you going to ask too small? And when we ask too small, we're making God small. If I ask for the $10, you know, yeah, it's just not enough. We serve the God of more than enough. I don't want just enough to get me by for the day or to help. I want everything God has for me. And that doesn't just include provision. He could have asked for provision. He could have said, for the next 10 years, I'm going to be laying on the mat here. I'm going to need a new mattress. I'm going to need a new pillow while I lay here for the next 38 years. I'm going to need some supplies. So I'm going to ask you for about $1 million. But that's not enough when there's more available to him, which is healing. And so he asked him, do you want to be made well? And God gives us the desires of our heart. But I think that God wants us to acknowledge, he wants us to acknowledge him by saying yes. And let me say this, if I don't say anything else the rest of this night, this is probably the most important thing that I will tell you. In this man saying yes, he was not saying just yes to the healing. He was saying yes to Jesus, the healer. That's what we need to understand. Yes, I want healing. But in saying that, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying, yes, I want you. I acknowledge you, God, as my healer. I believe that you're the one who can do this. And it just so reminded me of Esther and the king asking her, what do you want? I will give you up to half my kingdom. This makes her a joint heir. This makes her have as much as he has, right? And that's what God wants for us, that we have as much as God has, that we can do just what Jesus does. And any question in God's word is a question for you and I. But I love how Jesus encountered this man, and I love how if you can't get to Jesus, he will get to you. I believe that. it was Jesus who came to him. It wasn't him who came to Jesus. And so many cases, that's what you see. And, you know, something that, by the way, Sandra's got some great, great declarations that she is willing to, I think, eventually, she said she's going to write them out and give to people. You know, they're regarding healing and stuff. And they're just amazing, amazing. And I love those. I think that we need to make declarations that come from our heart. I really believe that. I believe that's the right thing to do. Write out your own declarations. Make your own declarations or get someone else's and take those as your own. But there's even something as our music team comes, Pastor Ken and our music team comes. There was something that went off in my spirit after Sandra was talking to me about the declarations she was making. And that was, it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, that's amazing. That's the right thing for her to do. It's the right thing for you guys to do. But there's something kind of cool else that you can do. Do you know that God makes declarations over you? Do you know that God has some declarations? And he said in Jeremiah 30 and 19, I read it, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. You can declare. When Sandra's writing the declaration, she's declaring what the Lord has already declared. God has made declarations about us. I declare that you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I declare that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I declare and I speak blessings over you. God has made declarations over you, and you can make those same declarations and take them to heart, because he has spoken well of you. And do you know that that's why we should speak the word? We should speak the truth of the word, and we should speak healing over ourselves and deliverance over ourselves, that we would be free from bondages and all of that, because God has spoken well of us. We should speak well of ourselves. First of all, we should speak well of God because he's spoken well of us. And we should speak well of one another, and we should also speak well of ourselves too. Never put yourself down. Never look in the mirror and put yourself down. And don't put down another person, because they're the bride of Christ. And that's where we get in a whole big world of trouble. So I just wanted to share that with you tonight. Speak more about the cure than you do the curse. Get that S word, get that S out of there. And let's just trust that God's going to do. I'm gonna close in prayer. I just feel led to close in prayer if you want to stand, and then we're going to take a time of worship. But I know that in all of our lives, there's not just one or two or three of us here tonight. But in all of our lives, there's something. There's something we have need of. There's something that's weighing heavily on our hearts and that we need God's help with. We're not the helper. God is the helper. We're not the healer. God is the healer. And don't be frustrated if you can't do it or you don't have the answer to it, because Jesus is the answer to it. I always say that Jesus doesn't have answers. Jesus is the answer. Father God, we just come before you tonight and we just thank you for your word, Father God. I thank you that you have made some wonderful declarations over us, some even powerful declarations over us. And you have chosen us to be co-missionaries with you, Father God. You've given us a commission because we're on the mission together, God. You're with us. You're never going to leave us. And Father God, I thank you for your word that says that we are saved, Father God, that we wouldn't even dash our foot against a stone, Father God, that you are so protective of us as your children, that you have got a hedge around us, Father God. We may not feel good, Father God, but I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith, Father. Our faith is in you, Lord. Father God, we can rest tonight in that, in knowing that whatever happens today, tomorrow, that you've got this, God, that you've got a hedge of protection around us, that you're our healer, Father God, that healing right now is working inside our bodies, Father God. Father God, that we're growing stronger day by day. Father God, that we're prospering as our soul prospers, that we're in health, Father God. Father, we're counting on your word, Father. Your word has never failed us. You've never failed us one time. Father God, I speak a word of peace here tonight, Father God. A peace that passes understanding, Father God. No matter what anyone says, no matter what the threats are against our nation and against our person, Father God. Lord, we trust in you. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember your name, God. Your name above all names, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.